Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're here. I have with me two really wise PhDs, and Dr. Jill Hubbard and
Hello.
Dr. Alice Benton are here. Hi, guys.
Hey, I'm so happy to be back with you all.
I missed you during my
COVID time.
Yes.
Yeah, good to see you.
We're all taking turns.
Well, I want to mention something because it is Tuesday, and on Friday, there are some folks that are absolutely going to be different because they went to every man's battle. And it is not too late. We talked to a guy who was having trouble, struggling, and he says, I don't have the money to go to every man's battle. Well, he hadn't even called to see if he needed money because there's a scholarship fund. And so I just got to tell you, until you've gone to every man's battle, if you're struggling with lust, sticking with your vows, pornography, anything, getting over things that you haven't been doing for quite some time, you need to go. And there are a lot of reasons that people don't. They're ashamed or their pride or whatever it is. But when you go, then you're with these other men that maybe they don't want to be there either. But once you're there, you're so glad you are. I'm
Steve,
just going to encourage you to go.
Yeah, it's one of the best things we do.
Yeah.
And if you're a man, find any reason to go, because I have heard that you benefit above and beyond. I mean, yes, they deal with the pornography and the sexual addiction, but above and beyond that, I think men find healing.
Yeah, and not everybody there, of course, is a sex addict. You can just have a struggle, and
right,
they'll help you with it. And the number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we've been doing this and perfecting it, and I have to tell you, it's never been better. You can try all you want on your own, but when you go to that, you don't have to try on your own anymore, and you have new tools. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to do that. Now, if you want to join us on this program, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. And I'm just back, slipped in the door in time. I was speaking for the student body chapel at Anderson University, and what a great, great university that is, and what a great chapel it was. And I had my friend with me, Superman. I took him. You can see that if you're watching us on YouTube.
I was wondering about
gosh,
that in the background.
Life size.
And, you know, Super Bowl's coming up. You're thinking super, and I found him down in the basement. But one of the things that I was sharing with them, that your identity in Christ can be destroyed by living out some label that somebody attaches to you. And on the way up there, I looked down at Mr. Superman's foot, and the tag on the bottom that they printed on here says Batman. Now, see, if he was trying to be Batman, he wouldn't be doing too well. But I shared with them how Christ-like Superman is. He has supernatural powers, yet humble, unassuming Clark Kent, working for a newspaper that, you know, newspapers used to be interested in truth. And Superman loves saving people. And so many of the heroes have things in common with the identity of Christ. And all of us, you know, our identity isn't sexuality, it's not gender, it's not your job. It's if it could be in Christ, if you'll move toward Christ rather than away from other things, oh my goodness, you will experience a life that you just never dreamed. Shame, labels, all those things can destroy. 1-800-229-3000. Come join us.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Now, if you're like me, when it comes to, well, loving and being loved, I feel kind of stupid sometimes. And our gift to folks is entitled Smart Love. If you feel stupid, you get to feel smart when you read Dr. Dave Stoops'
by
book.
One of the smartest men.
And woman. Jan, a lot of people don't realize,
yes,
but Jan is a PhD also. And they wrote this together, and it is entitled Smart Love. And here's what I got to tell you. It took me, I don't know, what? 80 years to learn this one simple thing about smart love. Whenever there is a problem, and you're it, explaining yourself, defending yourself, trying to help the other person see things from a different perspective is about as valuable as a shoe that's seven sizes too small. It just doesn't work. It's not appropriate. We got to give it up. I mean, it just doesn't work.
It helps me to remember that you can either be correct or you can connect with your spouse. Mm-hmm. And the two, trying to correct undermines trying to connect. And being a listener, quieting down to hear your spouse, even if you're sure that they're wrong,
yes,
leads to connection.
Because it's not just about the words. Right? It's about being with another in a kind and loving way that honors them and shows respect. Mm-hmm. And so when you listen, even like you said, if they're wrong, you're communicating something very valuable. I care about you. I care about what you say. And so connecting before you interject or correct, right?
That's right.
And then doing it in a gentle way.
Because it sends our spouse the message that your experience is important to me. Mm-hmm. Your experience of me is important to me. But it takes a extended listening period to find that out
to
communicate that.
And a lot of times we think we're right, but if we really stop to listen, we might see some kernels in what they're saying, right? That it's like, I hadn't thought about it from that viewpoint before.
Well, fact is, if you're insecure and unsure, then anything other than something fabulous and positive and complimentary, you're going to feel a need to prop yourself up, to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. And maybe if you'd go to work on that self-esteem thing or a self-worth thing and have your worth in Jesus and not in something else, then maybe you wouldn't have the need to defend. Now, here's what's so amazing. Well, it's really easy for me to say all this. Mm-hmm. And then when I go home tonight, it won't be so easy to just do it. And that's just the reality of life.
And Steve, I don't know if you talked about this yesterday, but this weekend we had the Parenting Adult Children workshop. And there's nothing more humbling than parenting adult children. And when you've realized you've lost control, right?
Yeah.
And so we had a great time. And that is, it's such a hard thing to go from being that parent that's kind of large and in charge to taking a back seat and really doing more of the listening and drawing them out.
Well, and based on many calls that we've been getting, mm-hmm, based on the experience of having overflow folks for that workshop, if you're not hitting on all cylinders with your adult kids, you're not alone. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, some of the situations that we have heard and dealt with, I would use the word pretty close, let's just say pretty close to impossible, where the mother-in-law demands that her little boy, who's 40, makes no contact with his in-laws, his wife's parents. I mean, you know, that is when little Timmy is timid with his mother and throws wife and everybody else under the bus and won't let the grandkids mm-hmm. be seen by the other grandparents. I mean, that is really tough. But you just never give up, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't be demanding, but always look for those little cracks in the wall, the exterior, the control, and, you know, hopefully things will change. Let's go to the calls. If you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. We are on YouTube. That's where Ray has found us and is calling from. And so let's go to Ray. Ray, how are you doing today, and what's on your mind?
Hi. The other day you were talking about vacillators. And
yes.
Yeah. So vacillators, and then you mentioned borderline.
Mm-hmm.
And so my curiosity is, so my husband is a vacillator, and I am a pleaser-avoider. I mm-hmm. used to just be a pleaser, and then there was no pleasing, so I kind yeah. of started avoiding.
Yeah.
And so I'm just wondering, like, how does that work between vacillators and borderline? Does everyone who is a vacillator, are they somewhere on a spectrum of borderline? So that's my question.
No, I would say this. Vacillators have more in common with borderline personality disorder than anything else. But if you looked at the continuum, I guess you'd say at the one end is borderline personality disorder, and at the other end of the continuum is the least vacillating vacillator. But just to make the point, not every vacillator would be a yeah. full-blown borderline personality disorder. Now, you know, when okay. you look at borderline, you've got a spectrum there that is so, so vast. Some of the books I've read on it it was not uncommon for somebody to be married and be in the emergency room from suicide attempts, you know, 10 times in over the course of a couple of years. So that's really extreme. But yeah. how could we help you, whatever it's called, with your husband? What do you think?
So some things are getting better because we're understanding that a lot of what's happening is because of childhood trauma that he wasn't even really aware mm-hmm. Was there.
Yeah.
It's like you can say just the littlest thing, and then it triggers something where he's feeling rejected or he's feeling... And my tendency now is to very much just completely disengage and detach and, like, move away. I used to, like, try to move in and be closer, and a counselor told me that I was, like, rewarding his unkindness with kindness, which just reinforced the behavior.
Well, let me ask you something. Let me ask you something, yeah. and then I'll let both Alice and Jill talk to you. What is something yeah. that you would say to him that would trigger him into this, you know, back to, you know, reacting because of the abuse? Is it a criticism? Is it, what is it? Give me an example of something that you wouldn't want to cause him to have to be angry or defensive, but it does.
I can't even think of any, like, it's been so much and so often that I don't even know if I can think of something specific.
Is it you don't like about him? What is something that you brought up that he does that you don't think is helpful to your relationship?
I don't bring any of it up. I don't.
So it sounds like it's like kind of walking on land, you know, avoiding the landmines for you because yeah. he's so ultra sensitive that it's like a hair trigger. Is what I'm hearing.
It doesn't really have to,
like, it's not
really
anything specific that you say he can read into. Because one of the things is when we have things, when we have a lot of shame, when we had a lot of fears about ourselves, we're always looking. And when you've had this childhood trauma, right, you become hypervigilant, and so you're always looking for the thing that you fear. And so you can almost see it. Yes. So you can see it when it isn't even there, right? So anything that feels slightly familiar can trigger them. But it sounds like you've made some progress with your husband and that he recognizes that he has childhood trauma.
Yes, he just started with a trauma therapist.
Oh, yay.
We had some things unfold in our marriage, and actually it was as a result of calling into the program. I've called in two other times, and one of the times, because of what was happening, Steve said, "You're going to have to decide if this is something you can live with for the rest of your life." Mm-hmm. And those words just kept going over and over, and it got to the point where I was like, no, it's not. It's not something that I can or will. Mm-hmm. And so from that point, I'm in my own counsel. And then I've realized that I'm kind of in a place where, because of some things that happened in my childhood, like, I'm responding to him sexually as an 8-year-old. For all of these years, because of trauma from my own childhood. And so we just have this really messy, complex situation that we're trying to work with. And we're in marriage counseling, individual counseling. I'm coming to Restore.
Wouldn't it be amazing if you guys could go to intimacy in marriage?
Yeah, I told him, I want to work on me. You got to work on you. And then we got to figure out the in-between.
But here's the thing. Seen it over and over again. You can go work on you, and he can go work on him. And then you go to intimacy in marriage, and you realize if you had done that first, you'd probably be working on different things. I mean, it's really a game changer for so many people. But Alice, Jill, your thoughts here. What do you think?
Well, Ray, I sure hope that you are refueling sufficiently, because you must be so weary. All the effort you put towards pleasing was rejected, or you were hurt by him in those attempts. And you have the self-awareness to be able to say, now I've pulled into avoiding. So the fact that you're going to the individual therapist, you're planning to go to Restore, I applaud that, because your tank must get and stay very empty in this marriage.
It's been for like 3 years. Like, I just quit. I quit praying for him. That was my biggest mistake. God's doing really great things now, but I prayed for 17 years and then I just quit. I was like, I can't. Mm-hmm. I threw away the power of praying life. I threw it away, and my heart got hard.
So that's the big challenge for you, is to now that your expectation has been reset and interaction reset, is to bring back the compassion, mm-hmm. care, and love with limits. I was talking to somebody who is going through a divorce as a Christian, and I said, here's the challenge, is don't be controlled by what other people say about your divorce, but also don't stop caring about what they say, or that they don't matter in your life. And it's a really tough thing to do, to honor them as a person, even though the things they say are stupid and uncaring and unloving. It's just a really tough thing. So that's a challenge for you in your situation.
It sounds like, Ray, even in this call, that you're wanting to change that you're starting to mm-hmm. care a little bit more, or be willing to try.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm through Celebrate Recovery, I have identified so many areas, even in everything that I've seen as me being the victim. I mean, pretty much that's like my number one character defect, is seeing how I've responded to everything, and then I viewed myself as the one that everything was happening to. But there was a lot of things that, had I done them differently, our story would probably be a lot different than it ended up.
So, Ray, I want you to take the power position of looking for opportunity, making opportunity to confess again to him, because he's doing so much wrong and he's starting to do a little bit right. And you're aware that you have given up on multiple aspects of the relationship. So make another confession to him as you see it to be safe enough to do so.
And I am nominating you for caller of the week, even though it's the second day, because just your willingness to take a second look at your reaction mm-hmm. after all this hurt that you've been through. I, I just, I'm grateful that that's what you're doing. I'll send you a copy of Smart Love. I hope that will be helpful to you. And I hope and pray that you guys can get to our marriage workshop. It's really, really amazing.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn, you're really glad that you're with us. 1-800-229-3000. That is the phone number if you'd like to join us. 1-800-229-3000. Dr. Alice Benton, just finishing up her book. We're writing it together. She's doing all the heavy lifting. Understanding and Loving Your Child in a Screen-Saturated World. And that screen society, the society behind the screens, pretty crummy. Very, very non-biblical worldview. Very, very anti-Christian in so many parts.
And knowing that our children will be exposed much sooner than later, we're going to help you build up the character and the defenses around the relationships in the family that will protect your children, knowing they will be exposed eventually.
Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates have said publicly that they do not allow their children on social media because it is damaging to their mental health. Hello. Can we just take a lesson from these folks? I mean, really. It's horrible. All right. Let's go back to the calls. 1-800-229-3000. And I'm going to talk with Brian. Brian listens to our program by downloading and hearing it on the podcast. He is in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Many, many worse places to be today than Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Hi there, Brian. How are you?
Hi. How are you guys doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How can we help?
I was calling about my daughter. She's 21 years old, and just to give you a little bit of background, she was raised in a Christian home. Her mom and I divorced when she was 12. She's gone back and forth between the two homes, her mother's home and my home. I've since remarried as of about 5 years ago. And she doesn't have a lot of dating experience, my daughter. She's a sophomore in college. She commutes. She, about 2 or 3 years ago, she started dressing, I guess, what you would call more provocatively and, you know, wearing some outfits that, you know, we didn't really approve of. And so about a year ago, she met a guy at the gym, you know, wearing something, you know, that I'm sure we didn't approve of in any regard, got into a relationship with him, or kind of started seeing him unbeknownst to me and unbeknownst to her mother. And they were talking for a period of time, and we found out about it and learned some things about this this boy that she was talking to. He's about 7 or 8 years older. He's living at home. He's had a painkiller addiction from a previous motorcycle accident. He's got a drug and alcohol history.
Okay.
Yes,
crummy guy.
Somebody we really approve
right.
of.
So what is it that we could help you with? Many of us have been in that same place.
Well, this has been on and off with her and him, and she, you know, she'll try to break it off and not talk to him, and then she keeps ending up talking to him again. Like, you know, she'll block him on social media, and then through various things will happen, and she's...
Yeah.
So
okay.
It's a long story short, she's back in a relationship with this guy again.
Okay.
Her mother and I don't approve. She's not been, you know, following our house rules in terms of, like, we had set a curfew for her, and, you know, so she's been staying out past that, and she's, you know, we definitely don't approve of this relationship that she's in with this guy, and then we just feel it's a dead-end situation.
What's the question?
Drugs and alcohol, and he's...
Mm-hmm.
Our question is, I don't want to enable her. She's not financially independent. I provide a car to her and a phone, and, you know, she's going to college, so we're paying for school. We want to have her obviously keep moving forward with her life, and we want to encourage her in that regard. But at the same time, I don't want to enable her in terms of maintaining this relationship with this guy. And it's hard with a 21-year-old because, you know, you have to start to let go. And she's a young adult and making decisions on her own. And we obviously don't know where she's going, what she's doing, or when she's talking to him. And she's hiding a lot of that from us. So, you know, how should we handle that? Do I continue to... you know, provide a car and a phone to her. And
Brian,
follow the house rules. Yeah.
Brian,
okay. House.
I'm going to insert a question here that may seem unrelated. Did she ever receive therapy for the loss of her parents' marriage?
That's a good question. She did a little bit of counseling right around the time of the divorce, but honestly, she said she didn't think it was really helping that much, and so it was very short and brief, and so nothing really.
And have you
time or anything.
Have you brought up that idea again recently?
No, I suggested it to her mother that maybe, you know, counseling would be a good idea, because I, you know, we're just wondering if this is a self-esteem issue or if this is. I'm worried that maybe she has a daddy issue from, you know, the divorce.
Brian,
you're
probably right. About all those things, you're probably right. And I'm concerned about her loneliness and isolation because those are often what fuel being drawn back into a harmful, unhealthy relationship. And so, of course, you're right to consider, am I enabling by providing all these things? It generally helps first to go to the hurt that our children are experiencing that's motivating their poor decisions. Tend to the hurt and decide, do I also need to limit what I am providing for her to help motivate her more?
All right, the music is playing,
okay.
And it won't stop. And so hold on, we'll give you some more help right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, and we are so glad you are. 1-800-229-3000.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we're talking with Brian. Well, we're not. Alice was. And Alice, you want to... you finish whatever you're going to say there that the music interrupted, and then I'll turn it over to Jill.
Are you done? Go ahead, Jill. Okay. Well, I'm going to jump in because I think Alice had said her piece. So, Brian, I think that... I really like what Alice said, that there's some hurt here with your daughter, and she may not even be aware of what it all is. But I'm really curious. I mean, here she is, a sophomore in college, and where is her social life around school? She's hanging out with a guy 7 or 8 years older that isn't in school. And so I would want to explore ways of maybe helping her to engage more with people her age and in the environment that she's, you know, in. But I think it's a perfect time for you guys to maybe consider going to family therapy. It sounds like you have a working relationship with her mom. And if the three of you could go and talk about it and go because, you know, you care about your daughter, and that's the message. We care about you. Something isn't right here, and we're not sure how to best communicate this to you, and we want to find out You know, what's going on inside of you?
And frame it also in that you know the divorce hurt her. And
yes.
You're worried that perhaps you didn't get enough help for her at the time. And that you have added probably to what she's going through right now. So you want to find out more about how your behavior and actions have affected her.
Well, and at 12, she was just surviving it. She may not have been ready to talk about it. But these kinds of things, divorce issues, come out as kids are individuating. That's when they resurface, and you need to sort through them. And so that's why it's perfect time, developmentally.
So it's really what they're suggesting makes it very simple, is we're going to continue to support you in college. We're going to continue to be with you, but we do have one thing that we're going to require, and it's that we're all going to go and see a counselor together. Why? Well, because we're here together, and we're feeling like, you know, we're missing the relationship that we had, and it's kind of become you're reacting, we're reacting. So let's see what we can do with somebody else helping us have a bond as a family, and that's all we're asking. And if it's really good, then you're going to see the person bringing all of you. Well, first they'll bring out all the things that are troubling to everybody, and then you'll see that being woven together to strengthen the bond that's really not quite there anymore. Okay?
And maybe the longer-term
advice.
The longer-term goal might be maybe she needs to actually not live at home and go to school. And if at all possible, if you could get to the hurt and work on some of this, then moving her to school so that she's a part of that environment.
Very good insight.
Yeah, she was actually going to school. She was going to school, and then, you know, COVID happened, and so she ended up coming back home. And then we've last year she just ended up commuting, and the intent was to get her back on campus. But then she's, I think, kind of, you know, grown comfortable commuting, and she has a part-time job, and so she's just continued to want to commute, even though we thought it would be good for her to get on campus. So we are looking strongly at that and trying to make that happen.
Good.
It's just, you know, convincing her now that the boyfriend's here, so it's kind of trying to, you know, pull her away from that, and it's all
difficult. And getting her back to campus, of course, that's a positive thing versus telling her you can't see the guy anymore, which is, you know, interpreted as controlling, demanding, and all that kind of stuff. But you get the result that you're looking for. Glad you called. I would hope and pray that, well, let me give, I think I've got a copy of it. We'll get it to you because it applies here, and it's all about your adult child. And Jim Burns wrote this book, Doing Life with Your Adult Child. Right now, Jim Phyllis is finishing up the manuscript, Understanding and Loving Your Child, Adult Child, in College. And, boy, that's going to be a great book for you. But I would encourage you, too, to reach out to some other men in a Bible study or support group or something that have daughters that age and see if you could get some additional support and insight for yourself in addition to that family counseling. We'll try to help you find that person. Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio, and Larry, I know you're kind of excited about all the things that are going on and a little bit overwhelmed like I am, but it's such a wonderful thing to be where we are today with talent and then the support of folks and watching the ultimate goal that was set out in 1988. Transformation of life, watching it happen more than ever.
Yes, sir. And it's been amazing because this year started so well. And Dave reported yesterday, our COO, that we had a record-breaking attendance for workshops in the month of January.
Isn't that amazing?
Any other January.
Yeah. Wonder why.
Yeah.
Do you think it was me, anything like that? Or do you think it was...
Might have been something like that, but I'm not ready to say it was you.
Or maybe people are tired of being disconnected, isolated.
I'll tell you one reason. It isn't me, but it is. I think our workshops are directed towards some needs that we've never pointed them toward, and that has. Well, people have responded to that. I think that's part of it right there.
Steve, we're in our 22nd year of a workshop called Every Man's Battle, and we're going to do that this weekend right here in Orange County. Mm-hmm. So, guys, today's really the day for you to sign up before that, because it starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't start tomorrow. It starts this weekend.
Yeah.
And I want to read just one sentence from several testimonies, because sometimes it gets so long in detail, but just I want to give what the guy's first sentences were. This weekend started as a group of strangers sitting in a room. By day three, I feel like I have a band of brothers surrounding me. Another one, I'm very thankful to have the opportunity to attend EMB because it's crazy how much more life I have now. Hmm. Hope that I have is incredible. Hmm. I was able to find the acceptance and connection that I have been longing for in my life. This weekend, I learned more about shame. To understand it, I didn't previously have a full understanding of the role of shame in my addictions. This workshop was life-changing, a place to open up with brothers that understood my struggle, accept me as I am. I came here excited. Another one. I came here excited, optimistic, and then was challenged in my group to be open, transparent, and vulnerable while removing my strong mask. And just two others. As I look back, I see the rituals and things I've been doing, and I have a clearer picture of what I do to my significant other and how this makes her feel. And then the last one for today, this workshop has turned out to be the greatest opportunity for me to turn my life around.
I love that.
Guys, I don't know why you're waiting, but you've waited long enough, and you know how you make a big decision, whether it's calling someone to... ask for a date, whether it was buying your first car, whether it was going to that first prostitute or asking for that affair situation, whatever you've been doing, it was always a big deal the first time you did it.
Yeah.
This is going to be your first time to call and join up with Every Man's Battle. You really need it. It's this weekend. It's not too late to get a flight to Orange County. Airlines are doing pretty good rates these days last minute, so... Please don't give up. Give us a call.
Yep. Your children need you to make this decision because you can change the trajectory of their lives and the generations to come if you will do this.
Yeah. And I just hope and pray that you would ask God right now, Lord, give me the courage to make that call. And help me find the resources to get there, because you can. We'll help you. There's scholarship funds available. So please, you will not be disappointed. You'll go from being this shame-filled boy, bad little boy feeling that we have, to feeling like a real, real man. It's just absolutely amazing. I've said it before. I'll say it one more time. I'll try not to say it again. Two toughest things to say in life. Worcestershire sauce... and I need help. Both almost impossible to get it right, but when you do, life has a whole new flavor.
Steve, these guys are looking at the phones thinking they weigh 25 pounds and they're not willing to lift it.
Right.
When they lift it and hit those buttons, it weighs about 6 ounces once they get it. It's like showing up. It's the hardest thing they'll do all weekend. So
that's right.
And folks, we need your support to help continue to do these and other things.
So help us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to do that. Want to join us on the program? We'll be here another hour. 1-800-229-3000. And we'll be back right after this. Thank you, Larry.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. 1-800-229-3000. We'll be here another 1 hour and 15 minutes. We'd love to have you join us here. But right now we're going to go back to the phones and we're going to talk with Anna from Florence, Kentucky. WCVX is the station. Florence, you are on with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton. Steve Arterburn here. How are you?
I'm fine, and I thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. How could we help?
I don't know if it's intolerance with me, but the music is so loud with the choir that many of us stay out in the atrium waiting for it to be over. A lot of people have left the church because of the loudness. It isn't the music. That's beautiful songs, beautiful words, yes, they're not the hymns, but that's okay because it's bringing the young people in. We have two services, and they're doing a magnificent job with the young people, and it's a Bible-teaching church, but is it wrong that they make the music sound like concert? Is that bringing the world into the church, or is that okay?
Well, you know, it's a tradition for worldly songs to become Christian songs. You know, that's what they would. They'd take hymns out of the bars and they would put words, songs out of bars and put beautiful words to them. And I just think it's part of the way music works. At certain stages, there's certain sounds that sound wonderful. Some stick around and people love them forever. Some don't. But here's the thing. You know, the question is, what is the message of that music? And
oh, it's
really
great. The message is great. There's nothing wrong with the message of the songs. It's the volume. I know the Bible says shout it, but they don't say amplify it.
Well, here's the thing. There's nothing. Here's what. There's really nothing wrong with. There's nothing wrong with it being too loud for you. Mm-hmm. And you know, at our church, we have earplugs.
We do too.
For people.
Because, really?
Hearing aids at home and wear earplugs, and still
unbearable. Too loud. Well, I don't know.
And even they put the headphones on the children. Some parents do.
Well, I would definitely do this, given all that you're saying here. I would be sure that, your attitude is really great. You know, you're saying, hey, I get it. You got to bring young people in, which is true. You really do want to appeal to younger folks, young families. But to say, is anybody else thinking that it's just more extreme than it needs to be? Because you're not saying go back to singing Amazing Grace every Sunday, but you are saying it's really, could you? And when I went to the church I go to, the first Sunday I was there, I felt the bass in my heart. I mean, it was like you could feel the compression, and they dialed it back since then. And I just think it would be appropriate to have a great conversation with your spirit saying, hey, I get it and all this, but I'm just thinking 5 or 6 decibels too high here. Anybody else saying that? And if so, could you still have the same vibrance without that volume?
Well, and I think, too, Anna, I do love your attitude. I think at a certain age, sounds really affect us. And so I would wonder how somebody, quite a bit younger, is feeling about the music. That might give you a barometer. Are younger people leaving or middle-aged people leaving?
No, the younger people are coming in.
Okay.
But my question is, we've been studying Ezekiel about going, the way of the world. Mm-hmm. Are we bringing the world into the church to being like a concert, or is that all right with the Lord?
Well,
I can sit out in the atrium but I didn't know whether to change churches or what to do.
Mm-hmm. I really believe that a lot of people that love the Lord and music, this is the way they worship, and it's a little different than the rest. So I don't have a judgment about that, but I think when we get beyond that, I think maybe the folks could take a second look at that volume thing. It could be literally too loud for everybody. So I'm glad you asked the question, and I really encourage you to go and talk with the minister of music first. Just say, hey, love you. Thank you.
Yeah, but share that good heart that you have about it. And I think you're just inquiring versus, I don't hear it as you being critical. I hear it as you wanting to understand and to have a solid worship at your church.
Right. Well, 1-800-229-3000. I'm going to send her a restoration Bible. Just say thanks for asking us the question. And I think whenever someone with that kind of spirit goes to a ministry, it's hard for them to not do something, you know, when it's like that. I mean, she's asking a question, and she's sincere. So I hope something good will come from that. Every now and then we come up with five things that could really be helpful to somebody. And I've got a tip sheet here that I will send you if you'll just call, ask for it, or email us at newlife.com. Five barriers keeping you from getting help. Now, this is a really cool thing to have laying around on a coffee table when you want somebody in your home to get some help, and they're not.
But, subtle. You know,
and highlight the one that applies to them.
Well, we all know the one about denial. They, you know, you either don't see it or you see it, but you just, you know, you just refuse to do something about it. But I think probably the thing that keeps more people from getting help is the issue of pride. Mm-hmm. That you think that you're going to look weak if you need to go get some help from somebody else. And you're not. They're just things that people know that not everybody else does. They've studied. They've practiced. They've helped. And I'm telling you, people that have resisted counseling or one of our intensives, and they finally go, they go, why was I waiting? Well, it could have been fear. Could have been you wanted to stay in control, or your shame or denial, or you just had to work through some pride. And maybe if that's you, you would humble down, as my wife calls it, and call us and say, okay, what do you have that might be able to help me? It might be a counselor. It could be a book, a workshop. But we've been doing this for one reason. We want to see God's truth step in and transform you. We want to see the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit change your thinking. If you'll cooperate, it can happen. And if you want some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You know, Jill, we were doing the adult children fearless parenting this weekend. And I have heard so many wonderful things of folks just saying, well, here was one, that we were in tears, that there were other people struggling with the same things. I think so often when it's the adult children, if things aren't going well, the default is I'm a failure.
Right. We feel bad as parents.
It's over. I can't do anything. But there are things that you can do with adult children to try. And my favorite phrase, building a bridge back to that child. And that you do one little bridge brick at a time. If you need help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, I'll send you smart love. If you want to join us on the next program, we're all going to still be here doing what we do at 1-800-229-3000. Come join us. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Alex.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.